Well done, lads, on fighting the war. Now come home and beat your spouse. Hello and welcome to the Canned Laughter Podcast. He hears the drums echo in the night as Simon.
They're coming for me. They're coming for me. I shouldn't have directed them to my house.
He's coming in 12:30 flight. It's Steph.
Meow. I got nothing.
And stopping an old man along the way, it's me, Mark. It's shit, but I like it.
That was sort of the point.
Yeah. That should be like the canned laughter, like, if it was pitched, it's like, it's shit, but we like it. Canned laughter.
No.
So how are you all today?
I'm still worried about these drummers that I've directed to my house.
I don't think I've got anything in the bank today. I'm a bit worried.
What, the spank bank or the money bank?
No, in the joke bank.
Oh.
Oh, the joke bank.
The joke bank. That, you know, the bank that's never full? that bank.
To be honest, I did think you were about to tell everyone that you were hitting serious financial troubles, and I thought, oh, it's going to be a dark episode.
No, that was me last week.
And admittedly, it was dark, but for completely other reasons.
Yeah, I'd not paid my electricity bill.
Yeah, exactly.
debt collection jokes.
We made them last week, let's make them again.
Right. No, I'm okay. I've got my glass of wine, I'm sort of here.
That's, you're sort of there.
Yeah, I don't feel completely here today.
So have you, your legs are still downstairs.
Yeah. Pretty much.
And my left little finger, well, I think that's still in the sink. I don't know, I'm guessing. I don't know how much of you, or what parts of you are there, what parts aren't, or whether it's more of a sort of a liquid measurement. And maybe there's a sort of general...
What, like 4 litres in?
Mark, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks for asking.
I'm 3 quarts full.
I'm 1 Steph measure.
Ooh, that's quite a lot.
Did we talk about Steph measures when we did the
I think we might have
the alcohol
episode. I think it might have been cut. There was a lot that was cut.
Yeah, even when we did the additional episode 20.5, it was only still, you know, a small few stories that made it through. We need to get Simon some drunk adventures so we can do, like, the alcohol episode 2, Drink Harder.
I'm happy with that.
Alcohol's so blasé. We should do, like, a meth episode.
Well, Breaking Bad is going to start back soon, so...
Never watched it.
Also never watched it. It's a TV show.
Oh, you guys.
Yes?
In fact, funnily enough, I actually... This will be completely lost on you. But I pass a guy who looks exactly like Walter White every day on my way to work. He's got the same shaven head, the same kind of wrinkled... meth cook face and the same goatee. It's freaky. I want to stop him and ask him if he's ever seen Breaking Bad, but I'm afraid he might punch me.
Or he's really into Breaking Bad and he makes you take meth.
Maybe he's an actual chef and he just cosplays to work as Walter White. He's not a meth cook, he's just a cook, but you know.
But he'll sort of cook like sugar water and pretend it's meth just to really take in the vibe.
Why not?
I would.
I can't imagine cooked sugar water tastes very nice.
Well, it's caramel, so that is precisely what caramel is. It is sugar, water and heat.
So basically we've combined Breaking Bad with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. That would be a difficult watch.
Breaking Wonka.
I think if you just watch the old Wonka and just assume that everybody's on meth, it's probably not too far from...
Well, they see little orange dancing men who sing and seem to know the future, so I'm pretty sure they're on something. I mean, they put Mysterious, you know, still in the testing phases candy in their mouths without question, so they could be laced with anything. Try so on what, new ketamine gobstopper.
They lick wallpaper. I mean,
yeah, that is a sign of someone at least on some form of, you know, heroin or something. I don't know. You know drugs better than I do, Steph. Would you lick wallpaper if you're on heroin?
Probably. Depends how much heroin you're on. I imagine. I've never been on heroin, but I hear it gives you quite a dicky tummy, you know.
You never see a skinny smack addict. You
know? Yeah.
I thought heroin was one of those take it and you just kind of lie there and do nothing sort of drugs.
Honestly, couldn't tell you. Probably.
I mean, either. I'm going by what I've seen in films, and that's probably all wrong.
I mean, there's
still loads of films that think like weed is psychedelic, which I'm pretty sure it isn't.
Weed does weird things to certain people. I mean, I've never had any sort of off experiences on it, but who knows? Maybe some people react to it differently. As with most things in life, if your body chemistry is different between everybody, so you'll have different kind of reactions.
Yeah, from what I know of my body, I'm kind of hesitant to try it.
You should get someone else to know your body.
Oh, do we have to? We covered that.
Maybe put it on Gumtree.
What, my body?
Yeah.
Well, someone put their virginity on there, didn't they?
They
was
did.
It eBay?
No, it's probably eBay.
Might be an eBay.
Everything's for sale on eBay.
Someone put their virginity up, and like people bought it. Well, a person bought it, and then they sexed them, and it was basically a form of prostitution.
Naturally.
I wonder if you could get a refund. Can you get a refund on prostitution?
If you're not happy with the product, you can request one through PayPal. I imagine you could, you know, do the same thing. Was not as virgin as was not virgin upon opening.
Yeah, but the difference is, you take something back to a shop, you might get scowled at by like a customer services assistant. You go and complain to a pimp, you are going to get slapped with a, you know, like a sovereign ring on his finger, and it's going to hurt.
Excuse me, yes, I'd like to complain about country number 4.
Your service was intolerable, I say.
Yes, I rented Miss Tiara Gold the other day, and I must say, not as expected.
So I'm requesting a full refund.
And the utmost discretion, and then like just all of a sudden like boom, pimp slap. And like, you know, what you talking about my girl for?
How do you actually refund sex? Because like if you refund like a
carefully
know, like a pack of chocolate biscuits or a PlayStation 3 or whatever it is you've bought, you know, you get your money back, but you give them the good that you buy. What do you get back?
Well, maybe it's like when you give it back and it's like a refund or a part exchange. Like, maybe you get like a blowjob from a different hooker.
I'm terribly sorry. You now have free blowjobs for the next 4 hours.
That's not a bad offer. I guess it's better than the more direct counterpart of a full refund where you get all your money back, but she does you with a strap on.
Oh!
I was thinking about some way like reinserting the semen, not getting fucked with a strap on.
I mean, in theory, you could pretty much put it into some kind of injecting strap on and just, you know,
squirt it up his ass.
Yeah.
If one of us was a pimp, it would be quite handy here. It would also mean it was a very, very different podcast.
The Pimpcast.
Canned Pimpster.
Canned Pimpster.
The Bros and Hoes podcast.
Luckily, it's not that podcast.
So anyway,
No, it's not happening.
I'm still thinking about what it'd be like if I ran a, you know, I was going to say a pimp shop. That's not the right words. A brothel or a sex
pimp shop. Hello, welcome to Mark's pimp shop. My name's Sandra.
We got 40% off all Indian pimps. And Eastern European pimps are buy one, get one half price.
Try this new spicy Mexican pimp. It's piri piri. Piri piri pimp.
That's spicy.
Indeed.
hot. Commonly served at Nando's. How far do you want to take the analogy?
Take it as far as you possibly can. The way we take all our analogies.
Flog them to death. Well, so, something we forgot to bring up last week was Simon and I went to see the Cornetto trilogy.
We totally did. The Cornetto trilogy, of course, being Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and the new film, The World's End.
Why is it
the
called
midnight
the Cornetto
premiere? Well, Simon, you can feel this one. You know why it's called the Cornetto trilogy. I think you explain it better than I do.
It's called the Cornetto trilogy. It's also called the Blood and Ice Cream trilogy because the three films are got the same two leading actors, the same director, lots of over the top violence, and references to Cornettos in every film.
Okay.
And each one a different colour. So Shaun of the Dead was the red Cornetto, Hot Fuzz blue, and World's End green.
Okay.
But no, it was great. That was the first time I've ever been to a midnight premiere of a film.
Really?
Yeah, I've never been to one before, and it was really good. And overall, a very, very good film. I really enjoyed it.
So I find that hard to believe that you haven't been to one. You seem to be that kind of person.
Yeah, you'd think. But no, I guess I've never been that... I mean, I've seen films on release day, but never been to like the midnight screening.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's not had the chance, or just generally not being fussed that I'd, you know, have to start watching a film at midnight. And well, I think the difference was otherwise, you know, you'd go in and start the film at midnight and then finish at like 2-3 in the morning. Whereas this was we got there for 7:30. We watched two films and then the third film started at midnight. So it was kind of like a full evening thing. However, there were promised Cornettos, and View did not deliver on that promise. And according to what I read on Twitter the next day, quite a lot of other View cinemas across the country also suffered from a lack of Cornettos, which was a bit disappointing.
They were all bought out by the London premiere.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, fucking Londoners. Oh, I mean, fucking, yeah, I need some fucking Cornettos, dick.
That was a public service announcement brought to you by Simon Against London.
Oh, man, I'm so glad I started up that organisation. Fucking London. I think they're so great.
But there was one majorly disappointing part to watching the Cornetto trilogy. Right before...
Is this a spoiler? Because we really should tell people.
This isn't a spoiler. Well...
This is about a spoiler, but we are not going to say the spoiler.
No.
I mean, I don't care. You can tell the spoiler as long as we just give them some warning.
No, it's in reference to a spoiler, but not about...
It's kind of a moot point, because the extended trailer, including a radio trailer I heard a few days after seeing the film, all basically spoil something that happens about a third of the way into the film.
Yeah, it's something...
It's best kept secret.
It's something we already discussed, and I got quite outraged by the fact that I'd accidentally seen a trailer and it had spoiled what the threat was, what they're up against in the film.
Giant. Well, light up face.
Way to go, spoiler for everyone.
It's in the trailer!
That's our point! It's still
exactly.
A fucking spoiler.
But not only that, but it was more the fact that this was the trailer before the first ever screening of the film, and they showed the trailer that had the spoiler in it. I luckily recognised, because it started off like, from the men who bought you Shaun of the Dead, insert Shaun of the Dead clip, and Hot Fuzz, insert Hot Fuzz clip, now reunited for the world's end. And then it's like, Simon, I think this might be the one that has a spoiler in that I was talking about the other week. And so Simon did a very, very nifty.
did he cover his eyes and ears at the same time?
And go,
I tried that.
La,
it didn't
la.
Work. Tried that. It didn't work. What I did instead was I got my phone out, hastily plugged in my earphones, and started playing a Montauban loud enough that it was drowned out.
Nice.
But I couldn't get over the fact this is the first time this film has ever been shown, and they've put literally. And I imagine there would have been people in there who, like myself, would have tried to avoid the spoilers, maybe it's successfully, and without escape, And as well, it starts off like I thought. The reason I watched the trailer in the first place on TV when it was shown was I just thought this is just a quick overview. This is Shaun of the Dead, bits of Shaun of the Dead. This is Hot Fuzz, bits of Hot Fuzz. There's going to be a new film. This is when it's out. But it wasn't. It was about a 5-minute trailer footage from the new film, which we were just about to watch, and I couldn't believe that they did that. It was such a bizarre thing for bizarre thing for them to show before the film. It'd be like, if you go to like the midnight screening of Titanic and just before the film starts, it's like a 5-minute trailer of the ship sinking and Kate Winslet being a selfish bitch on the plank of wood. You're not going to want to sit through 3 hours of a really great big ship hitting an iceberg. To be honest,
Titanic is maybe not the best example.
Yeah, I was going to say it's
a good point.
Yeah, I get it. Just maybe do better.
They spoiled the reveal of that historic thing that actually happened.
Oh my god! I didn't even know.
That'd be really interesting.
It would be like if there was a midnight screening of Citizen Kane, and they had like a 5-minute montage from stuff from the show, or from the film. Sorry,
from the show. And Citizen Kane, the show. Phrase,
and it included the phrase, and it was his sled.
It was the Broadway version of Citizen Kane Simon was referring to. It was just he's a citizen and he's a Kane. That's Cantina music.
Yeah, it is. Everything drifts into Cantina music.
I'd watch that. It was a sled. Spoiled. Anyway.
Maybe that's what we need to do. We need to put out spoilers like that. We'll spoil classic films to the Cantina music.
That's how we're going to break into showbiz.
I am your father.
I think the Cantina music is actually free property now.
Really?
I think it's been long enough.
I don't know. Our copyright is in the modern world.
Yeah, I know, but I think it's been... I think it has been just slightly long enough. I'll have to look into it.
I'm sceptical. Anyway, do we have anything else to say on The World's End? Other than it was a really good film.
Yeah, it was a very, very good film. It's just the stupidity of View screening a spoiler for the film they were about to show. And whoever decided to put that on the pre-roll of the film was just thinking with their arse that day.
Thinking with their arse.
But no, yeah, it's very good, very, very good film.
Cool.
So, yeah, go and see it. Don't watch any of the trailers. Then go see it.
Yeah. And if you do go and watch The World's End, and there is a trailer directly preceding the showing, which starts with, from the makers of Shaun of the Dead, just, close yourself off for about 5 minutes.
Stick earphones in. Run out
of the cinema screaming, and then come back in about 5 minutes later.
No, don't do that. The sound will travel.
Just run out screaming,
Earphones will block that out. Earphones are the answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
If not, just get the person, turn to your left and get that person to plug your ears, and you plug their ears, and
maybe take them for dinner.
Ear plugging doesn't work.
Well, that's the name of this podcast, isn't it?
Not necessarily. Yeah.
Not necessarily.
I don't know what the name of this podcast? Celery. We don't know what the name of this podcast is going to be.
No. It could be something mildly funny and stupid out of context that we've not even said yet.
It could be something hilarious that doesn't have any context that we haven't said yet.
I got to laugh. I got to laugh out of Simon. Oh my god. This is the happiest moment.
Oh yeah, of course, because you're humorifically bankrupt, ostensibly.
Yeah.
Well, sounds like somebody went to the humor wonga.
Did you hear that the church was threatening to put...
Nice segue.
Thanks. Did you hear the church was threatening to put Wonga out of business, and it was later revealed that they invested in Wonga?
Yeah. Everyone was sort of like, do you think the church should be involved in loaning money? It's like, they always have been, haven't they?
Yeah.
That's not, new.
Remember that guy who gave that guy that 30 silver pieces to say he didn't know that other guy?
Oh, here we go. Cue the Bible bashers.
You mean we have them ready to go?
Probably.
Oh, they're God, in a pen.
That was such a logistical overhead. Well, that's absurd. And the here they come. There's no God. Your life's a lie. I'm not actually sure what the next part of the Cantina music is.
Let's start again.
And so on.
Yeah.
Yeah, my brain's totally forgotten that bit.
It helps that I watched Star Wars like a month or two ago.
Yeah, I did.
Great film. The first three. And by the first three, I mean the only three, which is 4, 5, and 6.
In the same way, there's only 3 Indiana Jones films and 1 Matrix film.
Yeah, that way.
Aliens. What the fuck? Fucking aliens in an Indiana Jones film.
Yeah, it's all about God and faith, usually.
Yeah, Nazis. Fucking Russians and aliens. It's not what we want to see. We want to see Hitler and Templars.
They are some weird names for your hoochies. Mark is a pimp, right?
No. I think if we can be sure of anything, Mark lacks the physical and mental skills to be a pimp.
Funnily enough, Hitler doesn't get quite a lot of business. Just a couple of self-hating Jews every month.
Wow. This again has taken a dark turn.
Yeah. I was going to talk about, you know, the gas shower themed room, but...
What? Oh, what the fuck? Hell, man.
Not even I was going to go there.
I don't want to know what you're talking about.
I get what he's talking about, but we're just going to move swiftly
good.
On.
Kickstarter. I want to talk about Kickstarter.
You want to talk about Kickstarter?
I do, because recently there have been some issues with Kickstarter. Some board games have been...
Is this the one that raised over 100k and is now gone? By the way,
yeah, we're not making this. Run by what is apparently known as a man known as being a scammer.
Well, because I read a little bit on the story, and correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't some of what was raised on Kickstarter fund his house move to Portland from California?
I think it might have been rumoured to. The majority of it was used. They said the money was there just to set up a business, but that's not what the money was raised for. It was raised for making this board game.
Yeah.
And I wanted to talk about that and see what your opinions on the topic were, because there, ostensibly there is... He should be paying this back, but he's... I think... let me find the article I was reading. Bear with me. I think he's claiming that he doesn't
have
to...
There's a bear with you!
God damn it. Please stop doing that.
Sorry, I'll get better. But I took a look at the... there's a screenshot of the board game he was making. What was it called? Like Hell Comes to Atlantic City or something like that.
Yes.
And it was basically Monopoly.
Essentially. Oh, there's a new... Oh, okay. Oh, Cryptozoics bought them. Okay, that's interesting.
So has it saved it then?
Yes, but they're claiming they've talked to Kickstarter, they're claiming all the income from it, and are making the game.
Well, there's a development. Oh, why can't I find it in my fucking browser history?
That's good. How nice.
Did you back it?
No, I didn't, because I don't back Monopoly.
Seth just has one.
Well, you know.
I've backed a few things on Kickstarter, but this was not one that...
I've done a couple.
That I was particularly fussed about.
The new War Machine Tactics game I've backed. Because, yeah, I'm a nerd and I like tabletop stuff. And I've backed a couple of, like... I was going to back the Ouya and then realised I had a mobile phone. And,
and a separate games console was much better.
Yes. So, I haven't backed tons. What have you backed on Kickstarter then, Simon?
Now, what have I backed? I backed Ryan North's Choose Your Own Adventure version of Shakespeare's Hamlet.
Oh, you sent me
really?
That. That looked amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, that was at one point the number one most published, most can't words. It was the publishing Kickstarter project that raised the most money. It had, like, had that record when the funding was complete. It got up to like half a million or something.
Wow,
fucking crazy!
It's fairly cool.
I backed Hand to Mouth, which of course don't.
Yeah, I watched that. Yeah, I did that. Which actually, personally, I feel has gone downhill. I think it's lost the spirit of what it was originally. Seems much more scripted. If you like it, you can disagree. Don't worry, I'm not pressuring you into doing anything.
Well, I'm easily swayed. I don't know. I quite like it. I don't have a lot of opinions either way. It's, you know, good recipe tips as well. What else have I backed? I backed Second Quest, which is a sort of graphic novel. It's drawn by David Hellman, who did the artwork for Braid.
Mm.
And it's like the story of a guy who lives in a floating fortress city world and just starts to discover something beyond the boundaries of that. It's like the story's inspired by old Zelda games and exploring the boundaries that the game world sets out and what happens if you try to push past them.
Huh.
They look pretty good. They are the ones that come to mind. Let's see. Hello, Kickstarter profile. That's what's it. Oh, and there's I also backed there's an artist I discovered called Darren Cullen, who's doing an anti-military recruitment comic called Don't Join the Army. It's full of all kinds of ridiculous satirical things about basically everything that pisses him off, and it looks pretty funny. So yeah, as far as this thing goes, I think Kickstarter's position, which I'm going to sort of state without passing comment on it yet, is that it's up to backers to look at the project and decide whether they think the project creator can actually go through with it.
Yeah.
You know, Kickstarter basically say, we're the conduit, we're like the Royal Mail of crowdfunding. We are going to help manage the pledge fund, we're going to help manage the payments, you know, we're going to hold the money until it gets funded, until it meets its funding goal, then we'll pass it on. We'll create the infrastructure for people to hand out updates. As for the project itself, that is the onus is on you guys.
Well, I find it interesting because if this was a company, you would have got your money from producers, from big business backers, and you would absolutely be held accountable. You would not be able to turn around and say, sorry, I haven't made it. Yeah, we were just making the business instead. And I find it interesting that in a situation like this, there is actually there's so many people that feel like they are entitled to be listed under that producer role, but actually have no creative control whatsoever and no business sort of acumen with it. I mean, there are people reporting them to the online fraud people in America, but you're sort of like, well, yeah, cool, but really, he's got away with it. You know, he's got your money. Mm. Sorry, but
Alex, there was one.
Sorry, can I just?
Sure,
go on, weigh in.
I think with regards to I forgot what it is already.
Atlantic City.
Hell Comes to Atlantic City. That one. I think with that one, it was the main problem was that the Kickstarter ended up funding like not what was advertised.
Yeah.
Like the pitch was fraudulent.
Yeah.
Essentially. So I think if people want to report them for fraud, go for it.
No,
I don't know. I don't know the ins and outs of the law.
No, he absolutely should be. But it would never happen in a traditional business sense. And Kickstarter's created this sort of mock economy where there is no accountability or very little accountability, really, on like a production level, because you've essentially donated your money. If they don't decide to go through with it, well, then I can't really see a way out of it.
Yeah, you can't. That is the case when you pledge.
Yeah. And that's it. You know, you would hope they offer you money back, but if they didn't, they'd just be like, "Well, tough." You know.
Yeah, that of course being the flip side.
What
of projects that probably couldn't be made with a more conventional business model.
Yeah, I mean, I was curious whether if the same would apply if in a situation much like with Tim Schafer's role-playing game, where he raised, what's it, 3 million, and he only wanted 500,000, and he still doesn't have enough to make the game he wanted.
I was just going to bring that up, yeah. Because, they raised way more than expected, but because they've made the game so much bigger, they're now turning back to the investors, the people who funded it on Kickstarter, and going, actually, by the way, because we made it so much bigger, we're going to need a bit more money. It's like, but you got six times what you wanted anyway, and...
Yeah, it's like, couldn't you just make it a bit less big?
Yeah.
Yeah. But so what yeah, I think that, what they're doing that... now is they're releasing it in part one and part two.
Yeah, you'd think Which that is... if you're going to make it really big, that's, you know, one of the less stupid ways of doing it.
Well, yes, but you, I just think it must be... It's just a new situation we found ourselves in the world, which it doesn't often happen, but something like this where you would have accountability and you don't have that anymore. I mean, like, everyone, the trouble is it's being done by fans, and fans naturally want, so if, especially someone like Tim Schafer, everybody who would fund Tim Schafer's stuff would like Tim Schafer. It's just part of the thing. But really, he should, if he hasn't done it on budget, he should be held accountable for that. Not going back to his multitude of investors, because if you went back to a multitude of investors and they'd given you 3 million when you asked for 500,000, you'd be laughed out of the room. You'd be asked, where has all this money gone? Not, and you couldn't just turn around and say, well, you know, I made it a bit bigger.
Do you imagine going to a bank and saying that?
Yeah, it's just not... It doesn't work in reality, but we are confronted with this new situation.
There definitely needs to be kind of...
Well, I
don't really know a lot about Kickstarter. I've never funded anything on it, and it's... I don't know. It's kind of one of those things that I've never really been of great interest. Never really kind of... You know, I've not actively searched to back things, or... I don't know. It's never really kind of caught my attention that much.
Yeah. Which is surprising, because there's so much on Kickstarter.
Yeah.
There's an awful long
time. For everybody. And people assume it's... I mean, the trouble is, in our situation, you would see a lot on games, but there's also crafting stuff on there, which I find brilliant. I mean, there are people making custom... I was very interested in the day in buying a custom table from there, because it started with me looking at Chic and Geek, or Geek Chic, and laughing off that I will never spend £7,000 on a table. But you could, you know... You could fund it and get Kickstarter. I mean, I personally bought the game that the 6-year-old made, and it was done entirely in crayon.
Really?
Just because I found it just new. It was a new situation, and it's something that wouldn't have existed without Kickstarter. I mean, because I think Kickstarter's fantastic, but there will be points where we start seeing things that haven't been, you know, followed through, and there needs to be a regulation, a regulatory body to match that, I think.
Almost like a board of Kickstarter elders.
Even just like if Kickstarter turn around and say, well, they need to have a caveat in their contract somewhere that says if you are advertising, you must deliver.
Yeah.
Or refund the money, not...
Well, I thought... Well, yeah, they've gone
hands off for now.
Yeah.
Which
I guess is to see if the business model could work.
Yes.
Yeah. Because they have, obviously, if it doesn't reach the goal, you get your money back. But it's always seemed very grey on, you know, it's always assumed if it reaches the goal, you get the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not like that. That's not how it ever was.
No.
And if it reaches the funding goal, the project creator gets all of the funding, and then it's up to them to deliver.
Yeah. And actually, Kickstarter have no... sort of after that point they're just like, well, you funded through us, that's all, we're essentially PayPal. Really, I mean, that's what they're acting like in that situation. We will hold the money until the project is ready to go. Anyway, that's my 2 cents. What should we talk about now? I said I was going to start being more serious in these things.
You did.
You
pulled out all the stops there.
Shall I counteract that with some intense stupidity then?
Yeah, feel free.
Oh, please do.
Tell us about your life.
This isn't my life.
Oh, yeah, are you sure?
I've come up with a potential another $1 million idea.
Oh, fucking hell.
Let's hear it.
Hold on,
I've
let
been
me just.
On this
let,
one
hold
for
on,
a while.
All right. Wine's
so
in,
I think
I'm going to
get like a slide where somebody's like, whoop.
I'll dub one in.
I don't know why that's what I expected. I know you don't own a slide whistle. anyway.
eBay.
Right, I'm going to look on Geek Chic. You talk. I'm not going to pay attention.
Oh, man. Anyway, right. So it occurred to me the other day, this is a little while ago now, that if you walk past a tramp on the street.
Oh, Christ.
And they're like, spare some change.
Who? Hold on. What tramp speaks like that? You're walking past hippies, not tramps. Spare some change,
spare
man.
Spare some change for whales, man.
For the whales.
Because everyone knows whales need denominations lower than £2 coins.
Indeed.
Because otherwise they just get stuck in their blowhole.
You're a blowhole.
Well, they can't take notes. They get all soggy and they break up.
Yeah, of course. And the £2 coin is the biggest coin, so it makes sense. But all right, so the tram's there, and they're just all like, they're wanting money. Money for sitting on their ass and being unemployed. I mean, for a start, that's what a job seeker's allowance is for, and don't get me started on that. But
no.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. The tramp is sitting there, and occasionally they have a sad-looking dog. And you've got to think, how much money does that dog bring in? You have to realistically put back into that dog. You know, you can't waste your money on the dog in the first place. But then I thought, everyone loves street performers. You know, if you look at the amount of money a tramp versus a guy who's playing acoustic guitar makes, the acoustic guitar guy wins. So I thought, this is such a genius idea. I'd open a school to teach tramps life skills, like being a human statue, or playing, you know, Eric Clapton songs, or juggling, and then they can go out into the world, do the street performer stuff, and earn a living more so than they would just being a tramp.
Do you want to field this, Simon, or...?
It sounds like clown school, only smellier.
Yeah, I couldn't get behind that. Firstly, you're an idiot. I think
Thank
that
you.
Just needs to be said.
Yeah, I would also like to make the point of you're a bit of an idiot.
Yeah. Secondly,
I think this is genius.
Yeah, it's not. I'm not even going to say sorry. It's just not. It's not genius. There you go. Moving on.
I think that is like, you know, in my 12-step plan to become a billionaire. That is it's definitely up there with coat trousers.
Why is it a 12-step plan?
Your 12-step plan to become a billionaire. Let me guess. This is based on the Alcoholics Anonymous 12-step plan, and step one is to admit that you want to be a billionaire.
Yeah, and I want to be a billionaire. Right, step two. And step eight, I have to apologise to all my friends for all the stupid ideas I've ever had.
Oh, God.
Step eight, I have to apologise to all my friends for being rich. Well, I'm sorry you don't have as much money as me.
But look
but
at
maybe
this
you
coat
should
made
come
of
up
money.
With some billion-dollar ideas.
This coat made of money. I lined my shoes with dollar bills. It's not even the right denomination.
It's fine. His coat made of money... Well, his coat made of money is going to be okay because he's going to protect it with coat trousers.
God damn it. So why do you bring that... No.
Not just coat trousers. Coat trousers made out of £50
coat
notes.
Coat trousers deluxe.
For the larger man. For the heavyset gent. We're getting away from my ridiculous idea for a second.
Oh, thank God.
Right, and this is something I brought up a little while ago, but I am annoyed that the feminists won, because in the news...
Whoa.
Not in general, about a particular issue.
All right, then, that's fine. Maybe state the issue and then state that they won.
I was going into that, but then you started to slow me down as if I was a horse.
Well, you stop acting like a fucking horse. With your long face.
And your misogyny.
And your massive eyes.
and my several Grand National victories.
The Canned Laughter podcast starring Misogyny Horse.
Misogyny Horse. Is that like Danger Horse's weird cousin? Misogyny Horse. Yeah.
The one that no one wants to invite to the family dinners. The one that runs the UKIP website.
That's why there are so many spelling mistakes. Just because he hears all the keys. Just.
Well, it's difficult to spell if you're a horse.
That was the worst horse impression.
Well, no, that was a sad horse because he can't spell. Bad.
Yeah. Although I thought the distant clapping noise was quite impressive.
Yeah, that bit. I thought he was into something there, and then it was like.
Basically, terrible vocals, good foley.
I've got my canter down. My whinnying not so much. But no, like the feminists kicked up enough of a fuss that Winston Churchill is no longer the new backside of the £10 note. It's now Jane Austen.
Fair play.
Because whatever it was, because Elizabeth Fry was getting knocked off the £5 note, and they're like, oh, you can't replace a woman with a man. You've got to replace a woman with a woman.
Who was on the £10 note?
Fucked if I know. No one gives a shit who's on the notes. It's the Queen and some other fella. That's how it's always worked.
Yeah. We can totally take the Queen off the notes. Then there's space for everyone. You know, people who actually do things. People who aren't basically dull scroungers with a nice hat.
Oh, it's Charles Darwin.
It's Darwin. Well, yeah. Well,
I knew Darwin was on one of them.
That's a shame.
Could get a picture of.
I would argue that Darwin did more than Jane Austen.
I would also argue that Darwin did more than Jane Austen.
I would argue that she is on roughly the same level as Churchill. Don't get me wrong, but I don't see the point in replacing Darwin with. Oh, this is going to be controversial. I don't see the point in replacing Darwin with a lesser character. I don't mean that in a feminist way. I just mean she didn't accomplish as much. Darwin pretty much invented modern biology.
She's not lesser because she's a woman. Yeah. She's lesser because all she did was write some books and shit.
Yeah,
because
and they weren't particularly good.
And this is gonna, any women who listen to this will be annoyed by this segment. But I thought the best way to appease them would be to put the token, and it's literally a fucking token female on a banknote at this point. And put her on the £50 note. Because then they're on a note, but no one gives a shit about the £50 note and uses it anyway. Everyone wins.
Oh, Christ.
Except the feminists, really.
Well, if you want to write in to complain, you can tweet us at, at Pairfalse, at Marcus Friend, and at House of Moose.
Or the Chuckle Brothers, care of the BBC.
Mainly at Marcus Friend.
For being such a dick. But no, it's just, it's like, oh no, it's so unfair. You've taken a woman off and replacing her with a man. Who gives a shit? To be like, who has money anymore? Like, everyone uses cards. Just stick a picture of yourself on your debit card and be done with it. Sorry, this really annoyed me when it came up. I was just like, and it's basically the Family Guy episode of South Park. It's, if complain about enough little things often enough and people keep bending to your whim, then you can do anything. So, the next time there's something that the feminists don't like that happens, I don't know, Aunt Bessie becomes Uncle Bertrand. then they'll be like, oh, but remember, we won about the banknote thing. And then everyone's like, oh, I suppose. It's just, sometimes it just needs to be like, no, it doesn't really matter if it's a man or a woman on the note. The gender of that person shouldn't make... I mean, why is there not, a non-white person on a banknote?
Have you seen our history books? It's full of whiteys.
It's just like winding up a toy and letting him run.
I know.
Yeah. Mark, I would love to see you in a serious political debate. You would be on the floor in 4 seconds flat.
I would. I'd have Paxman teabagging me until I cried. And that's it for another Canned Laughter podcast. Assessing the quantity of effort to remove himself from you has been Simon.
I made an executive decision and now you don't have any children.
Disappointed by the lack of progress a century of men can make has been Steph.
I'm just so sorry. Just so sorry. Just so sorry. Sorry.
And praising the rate of precipitation expected on the equatorial continent has been me, Mark. Thanks for listening.
Sorry.
How have you been, Steph?
I'm alright. I met them nice early. This is going to be the cold opening, isn't it?
Cold opening.
But I'm tish.
Fuck you. Fuck you, guys. Right in the mouth. Oh, man.